You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Yo! We are now one day away from episode 100 of Fly in the Call. Later today, I'm going to be posting a bit of reflection on the first 2 years of the podcast, what's to come, and goals going forward. So this, my friends, is the last interview of the Double Digits. From the moment I pressed play on their debut single and heard the opening line, "What a goddamn year this has been, I'm fucking exhausted," I was hooked. The message, the sound, and the emotion all come together in a way that hit me somewhere that not many other bands do, especially on their first ever song. Almost a year later, their first EP is just about ready to hear, and the solo project has turned into a full-fledged band. Today we're talking about the positivity the band is hoping to spread, how the sound developed, what's to come, and a whole lot more. Get stoked on it. As soon as I heard Exhausted, I was like really impressed by, you know, how realized it felt as like a first release, you know, both like the sound of it and like the overall polish. I know we were in the movies for like 6 years or so before this project, but I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of like your history as a musician and what led to starting A Tiger Made of Lightning.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, I probably like a lot of the musicians that you talk to. I mean, I've wanted to be a musician since I can remember. I mean, there's like photos of me with like a, you know, a toy guitar, and like I was using like a toy vacuum as like a mic stand, you know, just like stuff like that. Always wanted to perform, which was weird because I was shy when I was a kid. But so I've always wanted to make songs and write songs and stuff. And so I mean, I've been in bands, and I started playing guitar when I was like for real, when I was like seventh grade. So like 12, 13. And I was in my first band in eighth grade, but it was just like a jam session in my basement. But I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then, yeah. So, I mean, I've been in bands my whole life ever since. And I think the longest I went without being in a band from that point till now was maybe like 2 years. Yeah. That's the longest I've ever gone without being in a band since I was 13.
Nice. And have you kind of like always had that like eye for, you know, kind of like, I guess, releasing like this kind of more cohesive piece or like well-polished piece?
Well, sure. I mean, I want it to sound as good as possible, you know, like, but, you know, I've also always been drawn to like punk and hardcore, you know, like polish means different things to different genres, you know, because I think in punk, it's like polish is more about like a fully realized song and you're fully aware of like what you want it to sound like. So it could sound, you know, DIY as scuzzy as possible, but if that's what you're going for, then that's polished for punk. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so like, I mean, I think for me, like, Exhausted was a kind of a like, so I was in a pop punk band for 6 years, which was fun. It was like pop punk, easy core, more aggressive stuff when I had a chance to write the songs, and you know, and that was really fun. And then I was like, but I've always my heart's always been in like emo punk post-hardcore stuff, like early 2000s stuff especially. And I've always been drawn to that, and I think that's like was like a lot of influence for Exhausted. That and like Soupy from the Wonder Years is one of my favorite lyricists of all time, so like it was a lot of like, you know, the kind of confessional type lyrics but with like the big epic like kind of, you know, like a post-hardcore slash emo kind of sound.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned like easycore as your previous band, because like the easycore that I enjoy the most is like the earlier stuff, like the beginnings of like For Your Strong and Set Your Goals, that has kind of more of that like hardcore-ish, like more punky background.
Oh man, absolutely, the bouncier. Yeah, like Set Your man, that one Set Your Goals album is so good.
Well, you might want to check back on Wednesday because I have a 15th anniversary interview with Matt Wilson.
No way. Oh, that's awesome. I will definitely check that out. Yeah, I love that. And of course, I think, I don't know. For Your Strong, like Enemy of the World is, I love Enemy of the World, but I definitely think Rise or Die Trying is like, yeah, landmark.
For sure.
Yeah, I love those albums.
And I mean, like, yeah, it definitely seems like you have like this pretty, you know, wide range of inspiration for A Tiger Made of Lightning. Like, who are some of the bands, other ones, than like the ones you mentioned already that like kind of inspired you the most specifically for this project?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so I've always been really drawn to like the kind of like early 2000s, like kind of more the aggressive emo stuff. So like The Used, Finch, Armor for Sleep. And then getting into like kind of the post-hardcore stuff like Thursday, Seosin, Alexis on Fire. Although I don't know if they're post-hardcore as much as they're just like hardcore punk, but I love them. Dallas Green's like one of my favorite vocalists of all time. Thrice, holy shit, Thrice. Especially up through like Viasu. Especially like vocally, like I think Dustin, I love Dustin Kensrue's lyrics, but I also think like his vocal range is my vocal range. So I was just like, oh, cool. I can be gritty. And like, cause you know, there was that point where like a lot of the pop punk and emo stuff was like really high pitched, you know, like Kellen Quinn and stuff like that. And I was like, I can't hit those notes. But then I heard Bryce and I was like, I can do that.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. The kind of like roughness of your vocals is something that really appeals to me as well. Like, how did you kind of, you know, go about finding and like developing your voice?
A lot of rage. a lot of, so I grew up in a very conservative Christian household and community in like Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, I was growing up at the dawn of like Tooth and Nail Records. So like a lot of, you know, and honestly, I think that like, if it wasn't for that record label, I think I would be a lot more adrift because I felt like that gave me that record label, especially because they put out a lot of punk and hardcore and eventually emo and metalcore stuff. Really gave me a place to like channel my rage in a place that was like acceptable to my parents, even though they didn't really like the music, but at least they were, you know, it was like, oh, there, it's just a Christian label, so it's okay. So, and I honestly think a lot of people that grew up like I did have similar stories, because also like a lot of the bands that came out of that scene were legitimately good, as opposed to just like watered down versions of other bands like Under Oath. Even like POD was really popular for a long time. Who else? Project 86 is really good. Blindside, if you've ever heard of them, they're like a Swedish, I don't know how to categorize them. They're incredible. MXPX. Who else? Is Devil Wears Prada Christian, or at least they were. Yeah. So like bands of that ilk that were actually pretty decent. I've heard it argued that that was like one of the only times that like modern Christianity was actually like relevant, because they were actually putting out like really good music, and it like gave, but the other thing too is I think growing up in it as an angry Christian kid was that like it gave me a place to channel that. I couldn't use drugs, I couldn't have sex, I couldn't smoke, I couldn't do any of those, I wasn't allowed to do any of that stuff, I wasn't allowed to swear, but I could, you know, I could really get into that music.
Yeah, that it's like that wasn't really my scene. Like I kind of got into like the punk and hardcore scene like more like a little bit later than that. So like that wasn't my scene, but it's like always so interesting to me to like hear how much like that stuff influenced people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's great. And then of course, like later on, like maybe toward like the late 90s, that's whenever like the emo stuff kind of came to the forefront. Like Juliana Theory was a really big one for me. Who else was like a really big one? Starflyer 59 was another one. And if you haven't heard those guys, definitely check them out. They're so good. And then that led me to like, you know, the non-Christian, quote unquote, non-Christian bands like Jimmy Eat World, Get Up Kids. Who else was really big at the time? Sunny Day Real Estate, you know, it was like American Football, like the late 90s kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, and then I found Dashboard Confessional during my like, girls are mean to me phase. So it was, yeah. And then that was it. That was it for me.
Yeah, I mean, that also kind of like ties into something that you mentioned to me about kind of like the concept of emo as not, you know, necessarily like sad and depressing, but yes, you know, kind of just anything that makes you feel alive, which is kind of funny because like when I first heard about emo like in middle school, there's like the negative connotation and I was like, but all music is emotional. Like I didn't like understand it at first. I'd love to hear more about your kind of like your thoughts on emo and like its place in music / the modern day music scene.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Like I love emo because it does tap in to, you know, especially for like guys, you know, like guys like me who grew up in households where like emotions were bad and asking questions was bad. And like, you know, and I wasn't just angry. I was also like scared and confused and like adrift, you know, not as adrift as I would have been if I didn't have this music, but like the music connected me and helped me like recognize like, oh, everybody's experiencing this on some level. But I think, yeah, but as I've gotten older and as I've like kind of gotten into like, you know, just like a lot of self-reflection, I've gone to a lot of therapy, you know, I've done a lot of self-reflection, a lot of meditating, you know, I've just gotten to a place in my life where I realized that like, oh, it wasn't just like the anger and the sadness that I was feeling. I was also feeling joy. I was also feeling just like purposeful. It was felt meaningful to me, you know, like, I mean, if I think about like my favorite, okay, so my favorite album of all time is Jimmy Eat World's Clarity. Most of those songs are not sad. They sound sad, some of them. But a lot of them are just about like working through relationships. And there's like the song Crush, where he's like excited and happy about falling in love. For me, This Is Heaven was one of my wife and I's wedding songs. That's about falling in love, you know, like that's super emo. you know, and there was like nothing negative about it, you know, like the one line is like, if I don't let myself be happy now, then when? That's not sad, you know? So with The Tiger Made of Lightning, we went really positive, really uplifting. Because I just feel like this is the time when we need that. It's the time when I need it. I need some uplifting. I need some encouragement. The past year and a half has been garbage in a lot of ways. It's been good in others, but it's been garbage in a lot of ways for a lot of people. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, have you ever watched that show Ted Lasso?
No, I haven't.
So it's this show on Apple TV, and it's basically, you know, this is this. Like, it's basically like about this guy, Jason Sudeikis plays this coach who coached football, and he gets hired to coach a soccer team in England. And like, he's known for being really motivational. And like throughout the entire, like this, the course of the show, he like slowly endears himself to all these people who think they don't get him at all, but he slowly, cause he's so genuinely like encouraging and uplifting and a motivator, he eventually like rallies his team around him, and they all like the whole team loves him. And like, that's what I want to do as a musician. Like, I want to rally people. I want to, like, punk is about helping your community, you know, like I think that kind of like DIY scene is about like, hey, let's work together to make something awesome happen. So I don't know. I just try to channel that into the music and the lyrics as well. Like, a lot of it is just like, we've had a lot of work to do, and we've had a lot of things we've had to look at over the past year and a half. And we've done like something like, I want to give credit to the people who have done the work. You know, I want to celebrate those people. I want to celebrate the people that had the courage to take a look at themselves and go, whoa, okay. I have to heal that. And then they did it, or at least are in the process of doing it.
For sure. Yeah. Kind of talking about the last year and a half, like Exhausted feels like really the perfect song to kind of sum up 2020 and beyond. But I know it actually has its roots kind of in like the Dayton shooting in 2019. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little about kind of like where that song started and how it's kind of like changed for you throughout, you know, writing and recording and even like post-release?
Yeah. I started writing it whenever the whole family separation thing was happening. So that was what, 2018? That was whenever the whole like I'm fucking exhausted thing hit me, and it hit a lot of people too. It's not like I had, that was an original thought, but like that's whenever the germ or the seed of the song started. I think that it fleshed out more and more because, like, you know, that was like headlong into all the, you know, previous administration stuff and all the horrible stuff that was happening, and it just kept getting worse and it kept feeling more relevant. So I kept, the more I fleshed it out, the more relevant it seemed like it became. And then 2020 rolled around and I was like, oh my god, like I have to put this out. It wasn't even like I didn't think it was gonna be, I wasn't like, oh, I can make a lot of money off this. I was just like, I have to say this.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, my first like thoughts when I first heard it was like, yep, I feel this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad. I mean, I'm really glad it resonated with you. I feel like I've been getting a lot of that really positive feedback, which is weird because I got a lot of feedback when it came out, like really great positive feedback. But like when it was kind of sort of safe to kind of do shows again and kind of get back and connect with people in person again, for those like blissful 2 weeks when we thought everything was going to be okay. I got a lot more like feedback of like, wow, Exhausted was like good for, you know, like it was my song of 2020. Oh my God. I was like, wow, thank you so much. That's really great. I hate that it was your song of 2020, but thank you. But I'm glad it's resonating with people. And I'm really glad. I really hope the rest of the EP does as well.
Yeah. And I mean, the newest single, Little Birds, kind of takes that general like positive undercurrent of Exhausted, but kind of really doubles down on it, you know, taking the inspiration from your daughters. And I'd just love to hear kind of like a little bit more about kind of what drives you to make such uplifting music and kind of how you keep things in the realm of like realism rather than like, you know, going, jumping the bridge to corniness.
Right. I think that, I mean, my daughters are a huge inspiration for me, like in terms of wanting to be positive, because I want to set a good example for them. And they are so awesome. I just put them to bed before I got down here, and they're 8 and 6, and they're just like creative and they're silly and they're like dreamy, and like they create these like worlds, and they create these things like with blocks and paper, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's just like an endless stream of like creativity. And I'm just like so impressed with it. I'm so impressed with them. And it inspires me to just like keep doing that for myself. So in terms of the positivity, like I said, I want to be a good example for them, but it's also like, I don't know. I see it like a lot of the, you know, gestures broadly at the world, and I can get really down, and then I look at them and I'm like, oh, they're focused on here. They're focused on like the now. They're focused on like training their brains, right? Whether they realize it or not. And I'm just like, okay, thank you for the reminder. I need to focus on what I can control. I need to be here now. I need to focus on what I can control and not let the bastards drag me down.
Yeah, I feel like that is certainly fitting, kind of considering your day job as a therapist as well. Can you talk a little about how kind of like that affects your music and vice versa?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's another big inspiration for me trying to be more positive, because I don't know. I feel like there's enough things to be sad or angry about. And believe me, I have been angry and sad a lot. And it's really easy to do. I think it's a lot harder. It's a lot more of a challenge to step back and like I said, kind of tell the difference between like, what can I control? What can I not control? And then put my energy intentionally into what I can. That's essentially what I'm trying to help my clients do on a daily basis. And so I'm just trying to put that concept into the music, you know, like reminding people they're deserving of love and happiness, but just because they're deserving of it doesn't mean that they're just going to automatically get it.
I've always loved the idea of like music as therapy. Like it's certainly been the way I connect with it. So that makes a lot of sense for sure. And I mean, it seems like this project kind of started off very much with like a take things as they come mentality. I'm curious, like now that it's kind of no longer strictly a solo project and, you know, there's the larger EP release on the horizon and even, you know, shows somewhat a possibility. I'm curious if that's changed kind of the way you approach it at all.
Well, that remains to be seen. You know, we're still in like the rehearsal phase. So I have a full lineup now. So we have two guitarists, a bass and bassist and a drummer, and they're great guys. I'm really excited to throw down with them on a stage at some point. We're still in the rehearsal stage, so we're still trying to learn the songs we already have. When it comes to writing, we'll see. They're all very talented, one because of the way that they play and like their flavor, you know. So I'm excited to utilize that more. I don't know. I think I still see myself as being the main songwriter, but I also don't want to be that guy that's like, no, I write the songs and this is how it's going to sound. It's going to sound like this. And otherwise, you know, get out. So like I said, we'll see. I'm open. I already have like 4 or 5 really good starts on EP2, but like I said, I don't want to be the Billy Corgan here. I don't want to just like only I write the songs and only I do it. And it's only going to be like this. I want to collaborate.
Yeah, like people are probably sick of hearing me mention that I've been super into jam bands for the last like year and a half now, and the collaboration aspect has been something that's like gotten so interesting to me.
Oh, sure. Even collaboration, I mean, in terms of it's such an interesting concept. I've been listening to a lot of like Are you familiar with Bill Murray? Not the actor of the band.
Yeah.
So he's from Columbus as well, but he has focused on collaborating a lot, just like within his own genre. He's gotten, you know, he's collaborated with like Tillian and who else is he collaborating? I mean, a bunch of people. That was just like kind of like the big get for him was Tillian. Oh, and Caleb from Beartooth, but that was like a joke one. Caleb's vocal feature was just like, hey, this is Caleb Shomo. This is my vocal feature. Thanks. but just his kind of collaborating, like inspired by like, you know, the way that like rappers do it, where there's like a lot less competition and more like, hey, if we all sound good on this song and then we do another song, but you write it and we all do it and we all sound good on that one, like all the different fan bases will combine and like galvanize and it will, everybody benefits. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So in a very much, much, much smaller way, all the people in my lineup are from other local bands that are all pretty great. So hopefully once we start playing shows, we'll kind of galvanize all of our fan bases together in a similar way. And we'll see how that goes.
Do you want to give any shout outs to the rest of the band?
Well, yeah. Steve Hatmaker on drums, Alex Cassis on bass, Landon Grishowski on guitar, and Colin Kavanaugh on guitar. They're great guys.
And I mean, with the EP, the first EP being in like the finishing stages of mixing and mastering, can you tease anything about what's coming next or like what you're most excited about?
Oh, man, I'm excited about it all. I think that the biggest thing I'm excited about is the message is just like in a similar way. So like Exhausted was like, things suck, but we're in this together. Little Birds is, and that's the single off of the first single from the EP, but Little Birds is like, this is awesome. This very specific part of my life is awesome. And I want to keep it that way. And then the rest of the record is like, how do we find this level of positivity amidst the negativity, not in spite of, because we need to pay attention to the negative stuff too, but like, how can we kind of find a balance and put our energy into things that actually help us and help our community? So the title of the EP is It's Chaos, Be Kind, which is a quote from Patton Oswalt.
And then, I mean, I feel like we've hit on a lot of really great stuff already, but I do always like to wrap up the show the same way, which is by asking for either a piece of advice or something you've been thinking about, you know, whether it's music or life or kind of whatever else has been on your mind, just a little tidbit to send people off with.
Yeah. It's a line from Exhausted. Slow down, pay attention.
Nice. Love it. And what made you choose that?
Because it's my mantra as a therapist. Yeah, it's something that I think it goes along with It's Chaos, Be Kind in a way, because It's Chaos, Be Kind is like, okay, I can only control so many things. I can control whether or not I'm kind. Like I can control my ability to slow down. It doesn't always feel like it, but I can. And so if I can slow down a little bit, if I pump the brakes, you know, if I'm going 80, if I just go down to 75, maybe that's the difference between me getting a ticket or not. You know, maybe that's the difference between me missing my turn or not. And then pay attention, like notice. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to judge it. You don't have to go around and around and around and overanalyze and go and drive yourself nuts. It's like, notice, what is here? What can I do with this? What's happening in here? I'm pointing to myself. What's happening around me? And how are those two things engaging? How are those two things interacting or messing with each other?
Awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. Awesome. And I mean, is there anything that we haven't hit on that you have been itching to get out there?
No, man, just like it's chaos, be kind. Like, like shit's crazy. All we can do is take care of each other and ourselves first. We got to take care of ourselves first because then we can take care of other people better. It's not rocket science, you know? We just, you know, it's like we know what we need to do. It's just a lot of us like either don't have the bandwidth or like the wherewithal or the motivation to do it. And we just got to do it.
Yeah. Or yeah, sometimes it's even just the matter of like, paying attention, I guess, like you were just saying, the taking the time to be like, okay, this is what's happening in the moment. Let me, you know, deal with it in this way.
And I'm going to really butcher this quote, but like essentially I think it was like Thich Nhat Hanh or some other like meditation expert. I forget who, and I'm really embarrassed. I can't remember it, but it was basically like this essence of the quote was like, whenever you're having like some stress in your life, meditate for 1 hour. When things are going really badly, meditate for 2 hours. which is, it seems counterintuitive, because it's like, well, if I already have a lot going on, and I already have a lot on my mind, and I'm overwhelmed with life, when would I have time to do it? And it's like, well, because you need to. So yeah, slow down, pay attention.
And there ends the last double digit interview of Fly on the Call. I'm so excited to be going into the hundreds, and especially to share the new theme song coming your way tomorrow. It's so good! As is A Tiger Made of Lightning. If you haven't heard Exhausted, you better go listen right now. It's a hard-hitting 3.25 minutes of mental release. You should also check out their other single, Little Birds, and keep your eyes peeled for more deets on the EP to come, because it's certain not to disappoint. Fly on the Call is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. A special thank you, as always, to The Alternative for helping to promote the show, Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane for the artwork. You can keep up to date by subscribing to the podcast and following the show on Twitter and Instagram at FindTheCallPod. Feel free to email any questions, comments, or other feedback to me at findthecallpod@gmail.com. Stay posy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the corner of Gray Street.